day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanjahadi, which means distant thunder. My colonized name and voter's name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss national, local, Native events and news all over from all over Turtle Island. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Jay Selby's, a plant-based eatery located at 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul. We just had it last night. It was very yummy.
Yeah, it was. Hey, we just got a few seconds before we roll into the news. One of the things is we got a big announcement to make about Native Roots Trading Post. We're going to get into that. Also, we got our shots today. Just a lot to talk about today, and happy Native American Heritage Month as always. Hey, let's listen into Ogma in the news right now.
Bonjour, Annie, and everybody. This is Ogama Ganuikwe with some news here for you from Native Roots Radio. As always, I'd like to start with some news on the Stop Line 3 front lines, and our relatives at Camp McGeezy are in serious need of your support. They continue to fight the Line 3 pipeline and reclaim Indigenous ways and practices. They ask that you come to camp if you are able-bodied, vetted, and vouched. And for more information, you can contact the camp directly for that. You can help build lodges and teepees, participate in ceremony and cultural activities, bear witness as we move forward and by bringing back the old ways. You can mail items to 1661 Reservation Road, Cloquet, Minnesota 55720. They are in need of large wool blankets, large arm tarps and wool socks, or you can donate directly at Venmo at Camp McGeezy-Winter Funds. Also, if you are paying attention to the U.S. Climate Action Center at COP26 in Glasgow, Scotland, there will be a live stream starting very early tomorrow morning on Indigenous-led resistance on Minnesota's Line 3 pipeline. The panel discussion is going to feature individuals and organizations that have been involved in attempts to stop Line 3, which is, as we know, the tar sands pipeline here in Minnesota. Panelists will share their experience from the front line from media, legal, academic, and Indigenous perspectives. Speakers include Ashley Fairbanks of the White Earth Nation, who's part of Honor the Earth, Representative Frank Hornstein, who's from the Minnesota House of Representatives, Ellen Anderson from the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, Julia Nurbin from Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light, Rupali Podkia from McAllister College, Ron Turney from the White Earth Nation, who's independent media, Frank Babeau from Honor the Earth, Shaw, who's the media coordinator at Indigenous Environmental Network. Shout out to you, Shaw, and all the wonderful work that you do. And the live stream will be starting, get this, everybody, because of the time difference, it's going to be starting tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Central Time or shortly there afterward. Make sure that you set those clocks early. It's did we gain an hour or did we lose an hour for daylight savings time last night? I'm not sure. I'm still recovering, clearly, so we must have lost an hour, but it is very early tomorrow due to that time difference. You can watch that live on the Honor the Earth Facebook and other social media sites, so make sure you check out Honor the Earth and follow them for more information. I do have some other awesome local news here for Native American Heritage Month, local by meaning to Minnesota. On Saturday, November 13th, from 1 to 6 p.m., the Mille Lacs Indian Museum is having an Indigenous food, foraging, recipes, and cooking event. Again, that's Saturday, November 13th, from 1 to 6 p.m. at the Mille Lacs Indian Museum, which is just off of Highway 169 across from Grand Casino Mille Lacs. If you're from Minnesota, you've probably heard the advertisements for how to get there. The event is free and open to the public, and the first 50 visitors are going to receive a copy of the Good Berry Cookbook by Tashia Hart, which is wonderful. It just came out this year. They're going to be having a gathering, a foraging presentation by Linda Black Elk and Luke Black Elk. They're going to air the documentary Gather, which is on Netflix right now. So if you have Netflix or if you're borrowing somebody's Netflix, we all know how that works. There is a really awesome documentary that's on Netflix right now called Gather, and it's about indigenous food sovereignty and taking practice back through foraging and things like that. They're also going to have the Good Berry Cookbook author Tashia Hart signing her cookbooks, and they're going to have a cooking demonstration and a food tasting and a Q&A. This looks like a wonderful event. Again, Saturday, November 13th from 1 to 6 p.m., free and open to the public at the Mille Lacs Indian Museum. Really want to give that a shout out today. In other awesome news, the American Indian Film Festival kicked off its 46th year and annual showcasing of films in San Francisco, and that was just on November 5th, which I believe was last Friday, and that is a really awesome event, and this info is coming to you from Indian Country Today, so I want to give them a shout out for all the wonderful news work that they do. So the American Indian Film Festival is the longest running Native American film festival in the country and was started by Native actor Will Sampson, who's well known for his role in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and his close friend Michael Smith in 1975. The festival in San Francisco has screened over 3,500 films since it was started in 1975. And in 2021, so this year, the festival hosted 126 films, 30 of them competing in six categories to include feature, documentary short, live short, animated short, and music video. Past feature film winners include Wind River, Barking Water, Smoke Signals, and Powwow Highway. A lot of us know these movies. They're really wonderful. You can follow the American Indian Film Institute or check out their website for a full list of all 126 films and what awards were given, where you can watch them. I mean, it's really quite comprehensive, so make sure you check out the American Indian Film Institute to find out more information and to get a great list of wonderful Native-made, Native-filmed, all of those kinds of things for the American Indian Film Festival. I'm really excited to get my hands on, as we come into the winter months, some great new movies. You know, movies are really just stories that are told on the screen with pictures, so I always think wintertime is movie time for me. That's how I modernize the story times for winter teaching that I was given. Our relatives in South Dakota are experiencing some embezzlement issues, so I'm really sorry to have to report this, but from thecapjournal.com, this past week, a federal judge in Pierre, South Dakota, sentenced two more formal officials in the Crow Creek Sioux tribe in a case where six tribal officials have admitted to embezzling about $1 million. From the tribe's bank accounts. The U.S. District Judge Roberto Lang on this past Monday sentenced Roxanne Sazu, who was a former chairwoman of the Crow Creek Sioux tribe at Fort Sampson, to 5 months in custody and 2 years of supervised probation for being a part of the embezzlement scheme, as well as one other woman. And the sentencing of these two women now only leaves the former tribal chairman, Brandon Sazu, to be sentenced in the scheme. So there were six people that admitted to over 5 years, from about March 2014 to about February 2019. They admitted to stealing about $1 million from tribal checking accounts, which is just terrible. Tina Gray Owl, who was a former elected council member to the tribe, was actually the first of the six to plead guilty, and she did so in August 2019. And as part of her deal, she did name four of the other five as confederates to the scheme. Roland Hawk Sr., who is the former elected treasurer of the tribe, was sentenced to 42 months in prison and ordered to pay $325,762.50 in restitution. He had admitted to taking $250,000 to $550,000 in his plea deal. Francine Middledent, also a former council member, was sentenced to 30 months of imprisonment and to pay restitution of just shy of $275,000. And she admitted to taking at least $150,000, but not more than $250,000 in her plea agreement. Jacqueline Pease, of 34, was also ordered to pay about $75,000 in restitution. So, you know, my hearts go out to the Crow Creek tribe and to this really terrible incident that's happening, and that your tribe is able to heal from this really terrible, but from being taken advantage of from your own people, from this terrible instance of lateral violence. So that's all I have for you today. I'm Ogumaganuakwe for Native Roots Radio, and back to you, Robert.
Wow, that was awesome. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break at Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us. If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Always good to hear from Jane Fonda there.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Give us a quick shout out.
Absolutely. So, love her.
Yeah, definitely. She's an icon. Hey, just a quick before we get to the guest, it was pretty exciting today. I got my booster shot at the U.
Yep, our Moderna boosters.
And a flu shot. And yep. I guess I didn't know if flu shots could be vegan, but we got a vegan flu shot
too. It
has too.
No egg product in it. Yeah.
Oh, normally you can, what, make scrambled eggs with your
flu
shot?
Well, if you're allergic to eggs, then you would get the, you know, the one without the egg. But since I'm vegan, I request the one without the egg.
So we had a great little news there with Ogama. It was packed, but one of the things I would really want to bring out tonight and bring Mitch along with us and talk a little bit about what's happening in downtown Minneapolis and what's happening with Native Roots Radio and Native Roots Trading Post. I couldn't think of the name here. Welcome, Mitch. Let me unmute you here. And welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hi, you two.
Cool. So, Mitch, that's just to give a little backstory. We've known each other for, well, I don't want to say how long, but for a long time.
Since kindergarten.
Right. That. Yeah, I won't say the years. I'll just say since kindergarten.
Since
20 years ago we met, you know, in kindergarten.
Yep. Like
and yeah. And we've been following each other, what you do. And, you know, why don't you talk a little bit about what you do and what you've been doing for the past few years, more than few years. But and then we'll talk about our story together that's coming up right now today. We can talk about it.
Yes, we're very excited. So I have been working with local makers throughout the United States, but really focusing in the last several years on Minnesota. I was head of sales at the Faribault Woolen Mill Blanket Company, which is the second oldest company in Minnesota, to Cargill, 1865, the last year of the Civil War. We were making blankets for our soldiers, and the mill had closed down, and a group of us went back in 2010 and reopened it. And when I was heading up sales for Faribault, I really recognized the local community as a really important customer, whether it was a boutique or whether it was a brand who was just starting. And some friends of mine in New York had a pop-up market 3 times a year called the Pop-Up Flea in Soho. And it started growing. They started going to Detroit and all over the United States. And a dear friend of mine at the time who was running the Mall of America, I would say to her, it's really important that we really focus on our local community. And it would be really fun to see some local, very authentic makers at the Mall of America. And the mall came back to me and asked me if I would be interested in opening up a local makers market. So that's really, as much as I had worked in other places in the United States doing markets, the Mall of America is really what brought me to really learning about Minnesotans and the absolute creative brilliance that we have here in our own state.
Yeah. Wow. And then, you know what I love, and then fast forward to 2019, I believe you worked for the Minnesota Twins or worked with the Minnesota Twins. You want to talk a little bit about that? And then we're going to talk about what we're doing together.
Yes. So from the Mall of America, the Super Bowl was here. The host committee called me, asked me if I would put a market together during the Super Bowl. And then the Minnesota Twins had called, and there's been several in between during COVID. I was really focusing on what you and I are going to talk about now, because we had to mask up and stay in and get vaccinated. And I also got my booster 2 weeks ago. So I'm thrilled about that and flu shot, and I'm good to go. So anyway, we can absolutely talk about your big news today, which is my big news, because I am absolutely, as I just posted on Instagram, to the moon and back to be able to finally announce this. So take it away, you two.
Yeah, us are especially, we're really excited. And what we're doing now inside of Dayton's, the former Dayton's in downtown Minneapolis, where Mary Tyler Moore threw her hat, and you can see it in the background, but it has been around for a long, long time in a staple in downtown Minneapolis and Nicollet Avenue. We are opening up basically a pop-up store called a Native Roots Trading Post, and we have outreach to many artists across the country and local people and local Native artists, and it's going to be an all-Native centered, centric trading post with art, pictures, photography, beading,
ribbon, candles,
right,
scarves, all kinds of beautiful Native American made by hand, beautiful items. So we're really, really excited about it.
What, and really, Mitch, what we want to talk about too is the other 30 people. There's going to be 30 other local businesses in this place. Can you talk a little bit about that? And then we're going to get right back into what we're doing, but we're really excited. We're blasting out. We're still looking for vendors. Mm-hmm. We're looking for wholesalers to really promote the Native art and the Native culture. We're still here. We're going to have a teepee in there. We're in the beautiful J.B. Hudson room, which used to be a jewelry store. And we're just really, really excited. And we're going to have Misko on next, too, and she's going to manage the store. So that's going to be exciting to hear from her.
And the opening day is November 18th. So it's coming up soon. We have a lot of work really to do, quick. But we're really excited.
Right, exactly.
Yes, we are. Ribbon cutting at 10:30 on the 18th.
We'll be there. We'll be there. And then there's a soft opening, a secret opening that with the press. And I think President Biden's coming too, but we're not supposed to say anything. But maybe we can get him some fry bread or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, but yes, Mitch, did we miss anything? We're excited. We're like crazy business, busy.
Yeah, talk about the other vendors who will be in this space.
Yeah, well, if you guys don't mind, I want to elaborate on the other vendors, because you're all a collaborative unit, which is how I put markets together. But Wendy and Robert, let's back up a little bit, because what was really fascinating to me is that I curate markets, and I truly curate. I go to every local art festival. Yeah. I go to church basements. I go everywhere that I can, the state fair, to find not just those brands that are local and so well known in Minnesota, but more of the unknown brands. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, Robert, you had reached out to me. I think you were just curious about, like, what are you doing? What right. do you do? You post these pictures of markets and different events that you go to. And that's really when you and I redeveloped our relationship from kindergarten. And you made me very curious because of your heritage and being a Native American yourself. And so we started talking, what could we do together? So when Dayton's called me and said, we are bringing back the department store, we'd like to ask you if you would be the curator, I called you. And that was one of the most exciting calls I've made doing this job with any market, because I don't know that it's ever been done to the extreme that you are going to be doing it in Dayton's, locally in Minnesota, at least.
5,000 square feet. Yeah. I mean, in a permanent place for artists to show their art. And it's almost going to be a museum like a trading post store, you know, and we're excited to get all these people in and promote Native art and Native culture. Yeah. And it was funny. We did a live show Saturday at Marlene's church. And at the same time, there was like a flea market kind of thing.
Yes,
and you came down and saw them. It's like, what is this? It's a whole nother world, right?
Yes. And you texted me and I came over, right?
Right away during our show. Crazy.
That was so fun. And that was really my first entree into your fascinating world and really how grassroots you are and how moving that is, because it's so real. And then in addition to having Native Roots Trading Post, we do have 30 other local makers that are extraordinarily talented. I have a furniture maker, Grass Lakes Furniture, from Owatonna, and a pottery that has a pottery gallery studio on West 7th called Pig's Eye Pottery, named after St. Paul, of course.
Right.
And several other makers. So there's kind of, even though we're all together, you guys have this extraordinary J.B. Hudson space. The other brands will be in the old Dayton space, which were women's accessories and cosmetics with the old Waterford crystal chandeliers. And when you think that Dayton's has been standing since 1902, I think you guys can let me know. I think they did a phenomenal job of renovation of this building.
What do you think, Wendy?
I think they did. It is absolutely beautiful. It really is. And we're so excited to get in there, get all the merchandise in there, you know, presented in a beautiful way and just have fun and do this.
Yeah, like Wendy said, this is feels like it's a really, really good way to promote artists and our local and national Native artists all over Turtle Island. So we'll be talking about that a lot in the coming weeks. But really, Pinigigi, thank you so much, Mitch, for coming on and talking about this, because this, I see Misko's on deck here, so it's great to see her. She'll be up next, and we're going to talk about a little bit more about the store, because she'll be running it, and we have our fingers crossed. She's going to do great. So, hey, again, thank you, Mitch. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back after this short break.
Stay with us.
If you're an Indigenous person who has thought about going to college or completing your degree, then North Dakota State has a great event for you coming up. Thursday, November 18th is Indigenous Student Visit Day at North Dakota State University. The event is for Indigenous community members who have an interest in attending North Dakota State. Throughout the day, you'll get a tour of the campus, have a chance to connect with current students, professors, and staff members. You'll also learn about support services, financial aid, the application process, have optional breakout sessions, and more. Since the health and safety of the community is important at North Dakota State, face coverings are required in all classroom settings and strongly recommended in all indoor spaces when social distancing cannot be maintained. So take the opportunity to further explore your education options with Indigenous Student Visit Day at North Dakota State University on Thursday, November 18th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Register now online at ndsu.edu/visit and then click on the Weekend Visits tab to find Indigenous Visit Day. Again, search NDSU Indigenous Visit Day at ndsu.edu/visit. visit.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to Jay Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at Jay Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hey, Minnesota, this is Tom Hartman. Catch me during your lunchtime on AM 950 from 11 to 2. Find more information and the live stream at am950radio.com.
Hi, my name is Frank Brown, owner of Minuteman Press Uptown. We're not just another print shop. We give back to the community and stand up for social justice. At Minuteman Press Uptown, we understand Black Lives Matter and know love is love. We're the only minority-owned and proud union print shop in the state. And while we take pride in our work with over 100-plus years of industry experience, we also know it's important to be involved in our community. We're active in the Twin Cities, fighting for racial, social, and economic justice. We believe our employees are vital to our success. That's why we pay a living wage with benefits.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. Minuteman Press's graphic design team took our ideas and turned them into an eye-catching promotional piece that was professional, and they far exceeded my expectations. And we sure love that they share our progressive values. They can help with direct mail, signs, promotion, and any other printing needs. Work with the graphic design and print team that AM 950 trusts, Minuteman Press Uptown. Call 612-870-0777 or visit mpuptown.com.
For too long, American Indian tribes have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation in Indian country. They have worked hand-in-hand with tribes to implement the Tribal Law and Order Act, fighting against diminishment of tribal lands and natural resources, and improving public safety on reservations. The Robbins Kaplan American Indian Law and Policy Practice serves tribes and individuals on commercial, government investigations, agency and tribal boundary disputes, as well as personal injury. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purdon, their American Indian Law and Policy Practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. If you or your tribe are facing legal issues, contact RobbinsKaplan.com or call toll-free at 1-800-553-9910.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies overnight with a low around 35, Tuesday partly sunny with a high near 54, and Wednesday cloudy with a high around 51. Crooner's Supper Club is a little piece of old-school nightlife in the 21st century. Enjoy music from some of the best jazz artists in two elegant indoor venues, plus the outdoor climate-controlled Belvedere tent. Crooner's is located just north of 694 off Highway 65 in Moore Lake. More at croonersmn.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lucid Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. I'm on the phone right now. My niece is in New York. She's at the hospital, and she's having contractions.
Oh, wow.
So I'm a little bit... I'm like looking at my phone. I'm watching for texts. I'm getting updates. So if you find it in your heart, just say a quick little prayer for my niece, Lindsay, that she has a safe and quick delivery.
Is it a boy or girl? Do we know?
They don't know.
They're waiting for the baby
to be born to find out.
Robert is a strong name for a boy. I just want to throw that out there. If they're listening during in between contractions. Hey, you know, we just had Mitch on talking about Native Roots Trading Post
so
in downtown
exciting.
Minneapolis and seven, you know, the old Dayton's building. You know, and when we're approached, we both are so, so busy. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a full-time job besides doing a radio 5 days a week after my other job. But we thought, who could we get to run this store?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who could be the face of the store?
Right. And I'm retired and I do have the time, but I don't have that any type of knowledge to do that type of work. And we needed somebody really smart and savvy.
Yeah, smart is right and correct and knows the stuff. So, you know, I had the opportunity for teaching high school for 26 years before I started working for my nation this past June or July. And I'd known this young person for 4 years and just rock solid. And we're so happy to have her aboard and on the show. And she is the manager of Native Roots Trading Post. Welcome, Misko. Who?
Really staticky.
Wait, go ahead. Talk again. Yeah. Come right back because I think something's wrong with your audio. You sound like an alien. Come right back.
So leave and come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll wait for Misko. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, there you go. Sound good now.
Okay, I had my headphone in. But hi, it's good to see you guys again.
Go ahead and introduce yourself to the world here.
Okay. Bujun and Dinuwe Maganiduk, Misko Gamiwan Indigenaka. Indigenakas, Migazi, Anagoikwe, Indigu, Waswaganignan Dunjava. Hello, my relatives. My name is Misko Gimiwan. I'm Bear Clan from Lac de Flambeau, Wisconsin. I'm 20 years old. I'm a jingle and fancy shawl dancer, as well as a multimedia artist. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful to be here with you guys.
Yeah, we are really grateful too. And I think we're going to try and get once a week updates from you from now on. But one of the things too, Misko, is that you are TikTok famous too. And it's always good to, why don't you talk about that just for a second and give out your handle too. And then we'll talk about the store.
Okay, sounds good. So like I said, I'm a multimedia artist. So that includes sewing, beading. I like to do digital art. I took digital photography for about 3 years with Robert. and I took, I took technical video production Robert. And then I took digital photography in another class. I was studying film at Augsburg University. And I don't know, I really enjoy making videos. I think the editing process is really fun, you know, to see all of the bloopers, but then to make a final piece and upload it. So I don't know, about a year ago, or a little over a year ago, I got on TikTok just to, for, you know, laughs and to also inform and educate. Because before, you know, social medias that we have today, there wasn't a lot of media produced by Native people sharing our narrative. It was always from someone who's not Native sharing their perspective on who we are, what they think we look like. And a lot of it was just old stereotypes and, you know, old images of who we were or where we came from. And so I think it's good for, like, young people and people to get on the internet and share their own personal narrative on what it's like to be a Native American today. For me, what it's like to be an Anishinaabe and Dakota, you know, raised in the cities. And so going on TikTok, you know, at first, I was bullied for my teeth. I faced a lot of racism. But, you know, just knowing who I am and staying strong in my identity helped me overcome, you know, those challenges. And then just continuing to learn who I am, learn my history, learn my language, and learn dancing and bring old ways back, or, you know, get stronger in my identity. And then to share it with other people, because, you know, not only did I used to have identity issues or not feeling like I fit in, but being able to make content that other people can relate to, making us feel seen. You know, not all Native people are the same, but being able to share who I am inspired other people to learn their history and learn their culture and learn their language. And then just to see someone who looks like them on the internet and joke around about, you know, things that Native people joke about, and then educating on dancing history and everything. So I really am grateful that I have a platform, and I hope to grow it, and I hope to keep educating on our histories and our culture and our people, and, you know, raise awareness about activism and art. And it's just, I don't know, it's something really cool. I just do it for fun. So I really, really enjoy it.
Well, in all seriousness too, I think TikTok, one of the interesting things about TikTok, I don't post, but I look at it all the time, is the Native American influence. And you're right in there. You got 100,000 people watching you, or following you, isn't it, roughly? Or how much is it now? I haven't even caught up.
I have 59,000 followers, I think, on TikTok, and like 10,000 on Instagram. But I get, like, I think my highest viewed video was like 700,000 views. And people from all over the world come into my live streams on TikTok, like people from Europe, Australia, New Zealand, France. I don't know, just from all over. So it's really crazy how like far out social media can get to people and how they can like see my content as an Indigenous person posting about like Native things, which is really cool.
Well, and that fits right in what we're doing down at Dayton's, Misko, is that we're really trying to promote and going to be promoting Native artists and like yourself, put you in that too. You'll be running the store, but tell us your thoughts about this, and maybe you can even do a live TikTok once the store is totally set up.
And let people know how they can find you on TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So all my social medias are at Misko Gimiwan. So this name that you see on the screen somewhere, my first name is all my social medias. So once you learn how to spell that, you'll be able to find me. And then to spell it out, it's MISKOGIHMIIWAN, Misko Gimiwan. It means red rain in the Ojibwe language.
Okay, cool. You'll have to spell that once more before you're done so people can get their pen ready.
Because we got about 20, 30,000 people listening to us on the radio, too.
Okay. So
not just us watching on Facebook, but it's good to see you on Facebook. But how excited are you to promote these artists and talk to people and just be out in front of the people and talk them about Native art and culture?
I'm extremely excited because all my life I've been like I enjoyed art, but I never really, it was never something that was, you know, at the forefront of my life or something that I really expressed myself through. I just like to do it for fun and I was good at it, but I always put my focus on school, you know, I don't know, just doing things that is the society kind of expects from people. But then as I got older, I started doing art more and I started learning, you know, how to dance and traditional ways. And I don't know, I really wanted to learn how to make regalia. I really wanted to learn how to make beadwork. And it's really expensive because, you know, a lot of time goes into it, a lot of money, a lot of effort, and a lot of creativity goes into it. And so for me to learn that, it was just, it made me feel, like I said, stronger in my identity. You know, I got to connect with more people. I got to meet new people, learn tricks, make learn my own tricks and, you know, things that I like to do. And so for me to become an artist and for me to identify as an artist was really hard because I never felt like I fit that title or I never felt like, you know, that was something that I could rely on. But as like I grew to know more people and, you know, going on social media and seeing such beautiful art created to represent, you know, movements, to represent, you know, our way of life, or just beautiful visuals that people create. For me, it just really, I wanted to be a part of it. I wanted to get into it and I wanted to meet more people and get inspired. And so for this store to actually open up and give artists opportunities to, you know, be able to make a living on their art or be able to, you know, get their art out there and, I don't know. I just think it's really cool because we just need a platform. We need something to push us. We need to be visible. And I don't know, in history, you know, a lot of the art that's out there was kind of misrepresented us. And for us as Indigenous people, like I said, we're rewriting our own narratives. We're showing these people who we are. We're showing these people our art forms and how we identify ourselves through art and, you know, the movements and the things that we can show through our art to the people is what's important. And so, you know, to give these artists, you know, more of an advantage to showcase their work, I think is really amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing, we only got a minute left, and I really appreciate you being on. You're such a busy person, not only with your art, but just, you know, paying bills and doing work. But, you know, when you bead something for the first time, what are you supposed to do with that? Don't you give that away?
Yeah, I was told that when you create your first piece that you're to gift it away.
And guess what I have? I don't have it with me right in front of me, but it's in the next room. But I have that beautiful beaded piece you gave me with the teepee and the microphone in, which is a Native Roots Radio logo. And I'll always love that, Wendy.
Mm-hmm. You cherish that, yes. And it was really something else that you were gifted her first piece. So how special is that?
And the Pop Socket, too. I still have that.
I thought that was the one you were going to say was the Pop Socket.
Yeah, but I really appreciate you and, you know, watching you become the person you're meant to be is just a gift for the whole world. And I really appreciate you being on and keep up the good work. And we'll be talking to you tomorrow with the Native Roots Trading Post. Here's the manager, Misko, right on. Thank you so much for being here, Misko.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. It was really good to be here. Gigawabaman, talk to you guys later.
Sounds great. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, Sacred Animal Section with Wendy Pilot. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us. Tribes have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation in Indian Country. They have worked hand-in-hand with tribes to implement the Tribal Law and Order Act, fighting against diminishment of tribal lands and natural resources, and improving public safety on reservations. The Robbins Kaplan American Indian Law and Policy Practice serves tribes and individuals on commercial, government investigations, agency and tribal boundary disputes, as well as personal injury. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purdon, their American Indian Law and Policy Practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. If you or your tribe are facing legal issues, contact RobbinsKaplan.com or call toll-free at 1-800-553-9910.
Hey, Cudigee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and get that cat. That cat's going to turn something off.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Oh. I'm giggling here because Lucy, our cat, just jumped on the table and literally like put
she's
her
turning,
face.
She's turning computers off
she,
and stuff.
She wants to be on camera. So anyway, come on, Lucy.
Oh, there she just.
Oh, there she goes. Okay, here she goes. Yeah, she's very, you know, it's always this portion of the show that she jumps up on. She must know that it's a sacred
she
animal.
She thinks she's
section.
A sacred animal, I think.
She is a sacred animal. She definitely is a sacred animal.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, hey, that was great. That's
yeah,
just before
we're really
we get into
excited
your,
about the store.
We got our daughter, Jelaine, who's working
will be
there.
Working. She'll be there 2 days a week, so we're so incredibly happy to have her.
Her husband and her brought, when we did the teepee thing, remember the last mm-hmm. show, it was like the teepee's too tall. We couldn't talk about what that was. We brought the teepee into the space and mm-hmm. 16-foot ceilings, and it was a full-size teepee, meaning – It could have probably slept, now that I think of it, at least 6 to 8 people in there. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would fit. And
but
it
the TP poles would not fit because they were way too long.
But so, that's also being that long and it's that wide.
Wide,
too,
yeah.
So. But yeah, so we're excited. Native Roots Trading Post that the Daytons, Misko, will be the manager, and our daughter will be working there. We'll be in there, in and out of there, too. We have other people working there. 5,000 square feet of art and beading and just Native-centric stuff.
We'll and have, a smaller teepee.
Yeah, and Winona LaDuke stuff's going to be there. Mm-hmm. And she does that hemp, that hemp noodles, and we don't know how much
it's called hemp pasta. So I'm actually going to cook some to see what it's like, how much, you know, how long you have to cook it for, and just check it out, because I do love pasta, and this will be interesting.
And you see, I got our new affiliate,
OJB.
Yep, 88.9 FM in Wisconsin, the deep Wisconsin, and it goes 100,000 watts all the way to Michigan and the moon, I think, too.
That'd be great.
So they're a great affiliate, and thank you for all the swag, because, you know, I love T-shirts, Wendy.
Yeah, and before I even talk about what I'm talking about, because I could make this really short to the point, my animal section. But I think it's really important to let everybody know that, you know, you mentioned it earlier, that we got our Moderna COVID booster shots today and our flu shot. So
I feel great.
I think it's really, really important. I hope that I have an immune response. If I have a good immune response, I'm going to feel a little under the weather, and that's okay. That's my body's way of recognizing the shot in my body, and it will build an army for the real thing when it passes my way. So,
well, I didn't feel that bad on my second shot.
Neither did I.
I felt a little sleepy, and I think, you know, if I walk too much, I felt the same way, because I'm old. You know, it's like, am I old, or I got to take a nap?
Exactly. But so yeah, we encourage everyone to get vaccinated and
get the booster, and have your kids do it,
and protect everybody. Yeah. Yep.
So take it away, kiddo.
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Hanaji Hihani, as most everybody knows by now. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis. And as always, Curtis, thank you very much for that heartfelt name. It really means a lot to me. Every time I say it, it really resonates with me. But I have an article here today, and it is from KSAT.com. And it's an article written October 29th. It's an update, and it's written by Mary Clay Patton. And it's good news. I love to share good news on the air.
It's a great day.
And here's a new law that's going to be passing. Chaining a dog outside will be illegal in Texas starting in 2022. So animal rights advocates are celebrating a new Texas law that is catching up to a San Antonio ordinance that has been in place for years. Starting January 18th, 2022, unattended dogs will no longer be allowed to be restrained with chains or heavy weights outdoors in the state of Texas. The practice has been banned in San Antonio city limits since October of 2017. The law is called SB5, also prohibits an owner from leaving a dog without adequate shelter, shade from direct sunlight, drinking water, and an area that allows the animal to avoid standing in water or exposure to excessive animal waste. And, you know, these things just really just make sense. You know, it's common sense, and it just makes sense. And it just kind of astonishes me sometimes about these bills and ordinances that we have to pass that just kind of just make common sense. I don't know. Governor Greg Abbott signed Senate Bill 5, also known as the Safe Outdoor Dogs Bill, following the Texas legislators' third special session. The governor previously vetoed a version of Bill SB 747 in June, saying the wording was too micromanaging.
No,
yeah.
What's the law supposed to be? I'm surprised Texas is leading the way, to tell you the truth.
I am too, and that's why this is really something else.
Good news.
It is, because Texas is so bad with everything else. So, exactly, right? Yes. Senate bill, the old bill, Senate Bill 747 would compel every owner on pain of criminal penalties to monitor things like the tailoring of the dog's collar, the time the dog spends in the bed of a truck, and the ratio of tether to dog length as measured from the tip of the nose to the base of the tail, Abbott said in a veto statement for this 474. Texas is no place for this kind of micromanaging and over-criminalization. So what happened was, after he vetoed that particular bill, what happened, there was such an outcry from animal advocates all over the place that what happened was, they had to make this SB5. So they reworded the bill, and they represented it. But you know what? If it wasn't for all the animal advocates and activists and all the people calling this governor so angry that he vetoed that bill, that they revised it, and now the bill SB5 is passed. And as of January 18th, 2022, no dogs will be allowed to be outside unattended and chained up 24/7. It's not going to happen. The other thing that this is going to be too is that they had a law saying that if an officer sees a dog that's in really bad shape, the officer had to wait 24 hours to go and get the dog or do something and help the dog. But now with this SB5, the officer won't have to wait. He can go in there right away. He doesn't have to wait the 24 hours, and he can go and get the dog. So this is really good news. And I want to thank everybody who called in and emailed and wrote in and called and left messages for this governor. Because it would have been dead in the water.
It works.
And
it works.
Emailing, it always works. So if you care about something, call about it.
That's awesome. Great news. Hey, this portion's brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post, accentuating natives from all over Turtle Island. Hey, I just made that up. I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, mask up, and run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop line 3. Please get vaccinated.
Shop at Trading Post, Native Roots style.